Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along. It's the FL 72. Sam and Tom with you for another week talking all things Football League. Plenty to talk about on tonight's show, even though Christmas is just upon us. We'll look ahead to the busy festive period and look back to the weekend's results, including another win for Leeds United. Hull City, they were beaten. It wasn't to be back-to-back wins for Nigel Adkins in his new role. Wolves still top the table. They are 4 points clear at the top going into the festive period. We'll talk some transfer news as well as things start to hot up ahead of the winter window opening. We'll have all the usual features as well. That includes good days, bad days, Owen Coyle's life stories, a festive edition, hopefully, anyway. And Crawley Town Watch is back. How's Harry getting on down at Crawley? And we do it all each and every Tuesday in the company of the editor of the72.co.uk, and that is Tom Carnduff. Good evening, Tom.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, are you excited for our Christmas special?
I am, yeah.
It's the official Christmas special.
Lots of festive things planned. There's no party hats, there's no crackers.
It's almost like you think we're organised with this. No,
I'm hoping for plenty of festive audio nuggets throughout the show.
Might be, might not be. Have to wait and see.
Okay.
It is the Christmas special, apparently.
Yeah, but we're full of festive spirit anyway. I think that's...
As you can tell, all the time.
Because as a Leeds United man watching another win at the weekend, it's now 3-4 for Leeds.
Yeah. Quick one before we start. It is Christmas special. Check out the GIF I've just tweeted out. Radio_Yorkshire. It's brilliant.
Better than last week's Christmas gift.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. So you can see it, Sam. I'll get it up. It's a very festive one with our man Owen, who we'll hear from later. It's him with the big man himself. Of course, that being the Santa. So head over, check it out. But yes, Leeds.
That's interesting. Is that Santa's... Is that a list that he's giving Owen Coyle? Is that a transfer list?
I presume.
Looks like a long receipt of Ross County goods that he's bought throughout the season.
You're trying to suggest that Owen Coyle has made a customer unhappy? I wouldn't know.
Never.
I wouldn't really think that could be the case. But yeah, great gif. Share it around. Let your friends know. Leeds United. Great results recently. Maybe not the best performance on Saturday. But main thing was they got the job done. Secured victory over a Norwich side who, to be fair, I think were quite decent. I imagine it's quite frustrating if you're a Norwich fan because they've got some good players there. They're a good team. For one reason or another, it's just not clicking. Played some good football against Leeds. But Leeds weren't at their best and still got the victory on Saturday. Probably says more about a team that they can get the win when they're not playing their best. But yeah, 6 points out of six to kind of... start the Christmas period. I know we said before it's a very winnable period of games for Leeds, and they've started it outright. So a good couple of weeks for Thomas Christiansen's men.
Mm, yeah, so it's proven that festive period. You pointed it out a few weeks ago, and in December the draw with Villa, away win at QPR, and then beating Norwich at the weekend, Hull to come in a Yorkshire derby at Elland Road as well on Saturday. You can see Leeds possibly ending this festive period in the playoffs, particularly the weekend game. Villa were beaten at the weekend by Derby in a top six clash, but it is 5-6 on Saturday with Villa hosting Sheffield United.
Yeah, so a win will send Leeds into the playoffs regardless of that result. Obviously, with the two of them playing each other, they're both a point ahead of Leeds. If Leeds win, beat Hull, they'll be in the playoffs on Christmas Day, which will obviously be... pretty good, probably where they wanted to be after the run of form that they had, but they take on a Hull side who, like we said, have have struggled this year. They made a managerial change recently, lost to Cardiff at the weekend, so probably not the kind of timing of managerial change that Leeds probably wanted, but they're capable of winning. They're capable of winning that game, and then after that is Burton and Birmingham. Again, two very winnable games, so hopefully they can start off the Christmas week with a good result on Saturday. And you feel they're certainly capable of doing that.
Was that the impressive thing at the weekend? Again, that Leeds maybe didn't play the kind of football that they were maybe back in August, early September, when they were absolutely flying. But they've had a soft underbelly in that period where they lost all those games consecutively. But now they're starting to grind out results a little bit more.
Yeah, it's kind of seeing the other side to Leeds, where early season you look at the Preston game at home, where Leeds struggled against teams that were very hard to break down. They couldn't really work out a way. They weren't, I don't know if you can put it, that they weren't willing to kind of play another way. They wanted to play one way and that was it. But we've seen it now that they can play with other games. It's more about trying to win the game than how you look trying to win it. But like I said, against Norwich, it was probably, you know, a game where certain players did well. Chubitsky played well. I think Saez, for me, tried a bit too hard. I think there's nothing wrong with playing a bit simple, playing basics at times. I think that was probably the way he had to go. So, yeah, you saw a different side to Leeds. And obviously, that's a positive going forward, because it shows that they are willing to play more than one way, that it doesn't have to be pretty. It just has to be effective to get the results. And that's probably my biggest criticism of Leeds throughout this season, that it was more about looking pretty than being effective. And now they seem more bothered about trying to be effective and getting the result.
And your man, Chubicki, came in, first start in the league, and impressed by all accounts, obviously got the assist for the goal.
Yeah, he was decent set piece on him, player. Took a few corners, if I remember rightly, and then the free kick for the Janssen goal. Got good delivery. Christensen said after the game that it was something they knew about. One of the many reasons why, or as he put it, many reasons why they brought him to the club. But aside from that, he was a very positive player. Wanted to attack the fullbacks. Nearly came close to scoring himself when I think Aylin hit the post. He followed up, but the shot was blocked. There was just a host of defenders in front of him trying to keep it out. His general all-round play was really good. Not completely, but a bit different to QPR. He seemed to have more confidence about him. And, you know, given how busy this Christmas period is, he's really made a claim for that starting first-team place again. And he should start against Hull, because over the past couple of games, played really well, contributed two assists as well. So yeah, I think, you know, it's another positive going into the January window, where maybe it might have been an issue, an area they were worried about, but he's kind of emerged now and shown in the few glimpses we've had of him that he probably is a championship standard player. But in saying that, we've only really seen him 2-3 times. I think once we get past the Christmas period, we'll know a bit more about him, presuming that he should play. Mm.
But encouraging signs, as we said last week, when we thought he might be more involved. Obviously, Ekiban now injured as well, a disappointment. But signs from the last few weeks that some of those players who maybe certain sections of the fans of the media were discounting as maybe no good or not going to make the grade at Leeds, all of a sudden that the squad depth looks a little bigger, that there are players there that can come in and do a job, particularly, as we said, a busy month in December where the games do come thick and fast.
Yeah, you're wondering what the likes of Matthijs Klik are going to be like then, because we put Klik and Chubitsky together in that, well, they're not being used, they're the two that should be being used more, given their record coming into the club, and they're not. So yeah, you're wondering where the likes of Klik, how they're going to perform if they get the chance to come in. You imagine that at some point they're going to have to be given a chance, because, you know, you can't see them getting rid of him in January, given the fact they only signed him in the summer. So yeah, it looks a lot better now. I think there still are areas. There are areas that have to be improved. You know, you're looking at left back, maybe defensively, but like I said, with the emergence of Chybicki and that, it just makes Christiansen probably have a good headache to have at this point, given that that area of the pitch, that attacking midfield area, is really Leeds' strong point. And now, based on what we've seen of Chybicki over the past couple of weeks, he, you know, could be another quality addition to that. And he's got four real good players there now battling for three places. So it'll be a good headache for Christiansen to have going forward. But again, like I said, I think we just need to see a bit more of Chybicki before really making a judgment. But what we've seen so far, it's been really positive.
Good. Let's get to some of the comments on Facebook where you can go and watch the show this evening. Daniel Noble, hey up guys, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you, Daniel, and to everybody. Anthony Connor Clarkey says, do you think Leeds are good enough with the squad they've got to go up, or more signings needed?
I think they're good enough with the team they've got. I don't know if they're good enough with the squad. I think it was similar to last year. The first 11, that strong 11, yeah, I'd say, you know what, that 11 is, but I don't think they've got the squad. A couple of additions, a couple of quality to add competition, to add depth to the squad, and they could make a shout for it, but they've shown so far they're in the, you know, they could be in the top six at Christmas with victory, that they're a team that are capable of getting there, but I'm not sure if the squad is. So we'll have to wait and see in January. A couple more additions for me.
That would be nice. Jerry Kenny again, wishes us happy Christmas. Let's go for three in a row. Speaking of Leeds, to get us back in the playoffs. Philip brings up something that has been mentioned quite a bit. I know it was part of the press conference, part of some of the videos that you were posting after the game, and that is around J. Roy Grott, saying what kind of dirt does Grott have on TC? It must be something serious because no one in their right mind can play him, even as a sub week after week. Everyone is nervous whenever he gets the ball. He contributes nothing getting stuck in there, Philip. But the manager did have things to say on J. Roy Grott after the game.
Yeah, for me, I don't know what he brings to the first team. You know, at the moment, he's not ready. He might be in the future. Currently, he's not. You watch him. He came on Saturday and I don't know what he did. I don't know what he did. And again, it's nothing against him. I just think that he really needs... I think he is a development player, a player to go out on loan, like we've seen with Marcus Antonsen. Go down to maybe League One, try and get a good goal scoring, run going, get some goals under your belt, build up that confidence. At the moment, Christiansen, when I asked him, didn't think he had a confidence issue. It was more he believes that everyone should obviously support the players and when they're playing for the club. But for me, he's just not there yet. He's not there yet. He might be in the future, but currently he's contributed nothing. On Saturday, it was probably one of the most ineffective subs I've seen. He literally came on and did nothing. Nothing whatsoever. But again, you know, he might come good in the future. He just looks raw at the moment. I think they need to really send him down to the development squad, send him out on loan, because he's not first team quality at the moment. So we'll have to wait and see with him.
Elsewhere, Aaron Marshall says he thinks Hull will be a tougher game than Norwich. If I recall, Adkins has a decent record against Leeds.
I think Hull, obviously, with managerial change recently as well. We spoke about Hull last week, wouldn't it? They score a lot, but they concede a lot. So they've got some good players. They're a good team, but then... Same with Norwich. It was a weird one. The quality of Norwich and the players they have, something's obviously not clicking there, which was weird, but it's going to be a tough game. They obviously went to Cardiff at the weekend and only lost by that single goal, 1-0. So it is going to be tough, but if Leeds want to be in the top six, where they've publicly said they want to be, they need to be winning games against the likes of Hull at home, the struggling teams. They should be the guaranteed 3 points, and it's where they should be looking as... not have to wins, must wins, but really should wins if they want to be at the top end of the table.
Terry says that Leeds have good enough players to get into the playoffs and get promoted. Kev, Norwich are certainly underperforming with the squad they've got. Houlihan, Jerome, Tetley all on the bench, question mark. Can you believe that with Norwich, that they do have talent that's maybe not being utilised? Is there something wrong there, do you think?
I don't know. Like I said, I'd be really frustrated as a Norwich fan because there's some quality there. They played some good football. They were a really entertaining side to watch on Saturday at times. But yeah, it's just not clicking. For one reason or another, it's not clicking. And Daniel Fark after the game, you know, he said, oh, there should have been a penalty incident. But then spent the rest of the 10 minutes or whatever he was speaking to the media talking about how, You know, Leeds were very good at the set piece. It was a very good cross. Janssen very good in that area. They even changed from zonal to man marking to try and defend Pontus Janssen at corners and crosses and couldn't do it. But he, you know, seemed to be quite relaxed about it. It's a bit of a conundrum for him, I reckon, because they do seem a good outfit. So, yeah, for one reason or another, it's not clicking. I'm not quite sure why, because they have some real talent in that squad.
Norwich 16th in the table at the moment, level on points with other underperforming sides in Sheffield Wednesday. We'll speak about them a little bit later on. And Reading as well, who after their brief resurgence have had a little dip themselves. But for Leeds, let's have another look back at Facebook and some of the comments coming in, where you can watch the show live tonight, also listen online as well via the website, via the TuneIn Radio app and via the apps, of course, as well. Get those downloaded if you've not already. Credits where it's due for Felix Vival, maybe. Aaron says that was his best game for Leeds at the weekend.
Given the events that happened the week before, impressed with Vival. Made some big saves when he had to. He seems quite a good shot stopper, quite good distribution as well. But yeah, I don't really agree with Christiansen when he comes out and says he's the best goalkeeper, one of the best goalkeepers in the league. But then I think he means from the point of, if you look at the stats, he keeps up there with the clean sheets, with the save percentage, etc., which is fair enough. But yeah, impressed with Felix. Kind of put up that performance when he had to, given what happened at QPR. It's fair play to him. Hopefully he can kind of take that confidence going forward and, you know, going into January, where goalkeeper has been a position where a few people have highlighted, or a lot of people are saying they need to look elsewhere. Felix can put in a couple more performances like that. Imagine the confidence will be there for him to keep progressing.
Nathan gets stuck in on the form versus Adkins team. The last time we played against an Adkins team, we hammered them, if I'm not mistaken. Kev comes back. Phillips struck the post and made a worldy tackle to save a certain goal at the weekend. He'd been impressed with Phillips of late, because he did get a little bit of stick during that run of defeats.
Yeah, he seems to be the bit of a scapegoat in this Leeds team at the moment. I really like Phillips. I think he contributes in various departments, very good defensively, can get forward, likes to score goals as well, a real hard worker. And, you know, we went to LGI Leeds General Infirmary yesterday to join the squad on their kind of annual visits to the children's wards. And he was, honestly, he really looked like he really wanted to be there. He really took the time to be a part of it all. Really bubbly personality as well, and you're thinking, you know, off the pitch as well, that's the type of people you want around your squad. So yeah, really like him. He played a big part on Saturday as well, like Kev said there, with the tackle coming close to scoring as well. So yeah, for me, him and Vieira have been a very good midfield partnership, considering the young age.
Is there a correlation with Vieira being back in the team and having that run?
I don't know. I think the two of them have just worked well together. I think they're quite similar but have different attributes. I don't know. I think Vieira's... It's difficult because I think Vieira's probably Leeds' best midfielder despite his young age. But Phillips has just constantly improved, has just kept improving and improving. I think he does come under unfair criticism at times, but I think Leeds have a good midfield partnership there. Two who like, you know, work defensively but like to get forward as well. And I think it's probably a large part of why Leeds have kind of turned the corner a bit and had some of the success that they've had so far.
Speaking of transfers and Houlihan from Norwich, Ross says he'd take him in January if he's not getting a game.
I think he came off the bench on Saturday. I think he's one of those on the sub bench.
So like that be a good fit for Leeds, that bit of experience, been there, done it at the top end, getting promotions?
I think so. I think whether it's Houlihan, whether it's someone else, I said, for me, I think it's the January window has to be players that kind of know this league a bit, know what it takes to get out of this league, like Vernon Anita. I know he's not played much, but he's been around the squad. You need people who know what it takes, have been there, done that. And it'll help, obviously, the younger players progress as well. So, yeah, for me, they've got to be looking Championship experience It's not vital, but I think it will be a key part, given how we all know last season ended. If they have players who know what it takes, you imagine it can galvanise the squad a bit if they find themselves in another promotion playoff run.
Aaron says all Leeds needs is another striker. Kev says Dakara and Antonsen are or were better options than young Grott. That's something you said in the past around Dakara, and obviously there have been a few questions, a few people over the last few weeks on the show saying, you know, why not Antonsen on loan at Blackburn? Not set League One alight, but he has scored goals.
Yeah, because Leeds have the option to recall Antonsen in January with it being a transfer window.
Should they?
I think they should. I think they should if they can't get a striker in. If they are struggling to find that striker, Antonsen, who's had a decent enough half season, I just think it'll take the pressure off Grott a bit. The pressure will be shifted back to Antonsen. There'll be a bit of an expectation. He's gone to League One to score goals. And it allows Grott then maybe to go to the development squad. Maybe Grott to leave on loan, go to League One, League Two, whatever. He's only young. We've seen Malik Wilkes do very well at Accrington. I think the club don't have plans to, but it could change in January. And for me, if it means it takes the pressure off Grott a bit, allows Grott to probably be at the development level he should be, then I would. I would, and you never know. It could. I'd probably back Antonsen to contribute more goals off the bench than Grott at this moment.
Ross says the main problem with Grott is he shows no effort at all when he does come on. His feet never left the ground once for a header on Saturday. Looks to have a bad attitude, in his opinion. Prefer to have Antonsen back in the mix. Also on Grott, Phillips says it's okay saying support the players, but you can't support someone who you get nothing from, only to a point.
That's fair enough. It's difficult because I understand both sides of this, where, you know, Grott is young. Grott will develop it. He's quite raw at the moment. He presumably in the future will get better. But at the same time, Leeds fans haven't been forgiving, as any football fans have, on certain players in the past, especially for the past few years when Leeds have had some really, really bad players. And there weren't that many excuses made for them. So I can see both sides of the argument. Back to the effort thing. I think it was Ross that said it. I can kind of see what he means. Because again, on Saturday, I was just wondering, what does he actually bring? Is he a big man? Is he someone who likes to run with the ball? I think he prefers to run with the ball, but it's like that. He's barely jumping for headers. He's not winning headers. When he's got the ball, he's kind of doesn't look like he wants it. He looks very nervous, and it might be an attitude thing. I don't know. But yeah, for me, like we said, with Antonsen, if they get another striker in, it'll probably allow him to go to the development squad, get the confidence up, score some goals. He just doesn't seem to contribute much at the moment, especially off the bench, when they're meant to have some form of impact in one way or another.
Kev says, Hull's a derby game, though. Tom, referring to your earlier comments, anything can happen, but fully expect to win this. Do you expect Leeds to win on Saturday?
Yeah. Given if they want to be a top six team, regardless, local derby or not, they've got to be beating teams at the bottom end of the table at home. I know they've hammered Burton when they played them at Elland Road. They're down there as well. Made the managerial change. But yeah, if Leeds want to be top six side, this is where you need to pick up the points. It's where you really need to definitely at least be picking up the 3 points against the likes of Hull, who, you know, no disrespect to Hull, but they've not performed as well as they should have.
Kev also said that we should be wearing Santa hats.
That indicates some form of preparation.
True. Wayne Bardsley, don't think Mar knows what he's talking about, Thomas Christiansen, MRT. I'm not sure I know what Wayne's talking about there, to be fair. Mark Jackson, we'll kind of talk about some of the other promotion contenders in the Championship now, alongside Leeds, who are of course well back in it now in seventh. But Derby again won at the weekend, beating Aston Villa, top six clash there. And Mark steamed in with a comment saying, look no further than Gary Rowett at Derby. Great manager turns average players into a really solid team. Leeds, Norwich, Borough, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, poor managers all not performing. I think that's a bit harsh in the Leeds case.
Yeah, I think it is very harsh on the Leeds case, where I'd probably say there are some, with the greatest respect, average championship players. You know, some of those players there you don't imagine are top at the end championship players, and yet he's still a win this weekend. We'll see them in the top six at Christmas.
Yeah, would you, I wouldn't say necessarily either that, that Derby's team is average. They've spent a lot of money over the years and they've still got a lot of talent in that squad, some very good players. I think what Gary Rowett has done there has gone in and made them a really solid team and a team that are playing as a team rather than in previous Derby regimes where they maybe had one or two individual players and never really worked well as a unit at the back. They were pretty poor, leaking goals. Now they're very solid at the back and they've still got some talent. Like Vidra, very good player. Fireman scored at the weekend. Nugent as well there. Huddleston, obviously. Ledley. Yeah, there's some good players there at Derby.
Some good players, good manager as well. And it's all obviously working out well at the moment for Derby. The win over Villa at the weekend sees them back in the playoffs. Five points clear of Leeds in seventh. Play Millwall this weekend. So Millwall, a team who don't travel well at all, are at the lower end of the standings in terms of away games, and probably another 3 points for them there. So I wouldn't say Derby are average, just regardless of money spent, whatever. They've got some really good players at that club, but take nothing away from Gary Rowett. We know what's happened to Birmingham, etc., since he's left. He's a very good manager at this level, and Derby seems to be quite a good fit for him at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say, I mean, that there are many jobs that maybe would jump out, but he has moved around a little bit, Gary Rowett. Obviously, not his fault with what happened at Birmingham. But I do rate him as a manager. If someone like Stoke City comes up in the next few days, do you think someone like him might be tempted to jump into the Premier League, or does he have to stick it out now at a club? And with this Derby team, he's got a real opportunity to get a promotion on it on his CV.
I don't know, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I don't know. At the moment,
a lot of the bottom teams have made changes already in the Premier League, so you are really looking at Swansea, who look doomed, and probably a Stoke for the amount of money they've spent. You would imagine if they lose a couple more games, Mark Hughes would get the boot, and I don't know where a team like Stoke go next, to be honest.
A Stoke would be quite good because they've got some good players, they've got a good squad, and you imagine he'd be able to get quite a good performances and results out of them. Swansea, no way. I think if Swansea came up, you're staying away because, well, at the moment that looks like a relegation. I don't know, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I think Derby, if they are to go up, it's going to be the playoffs. They've been there before, they've struggled, not had success there before in recent years. I think a Stoke might be tempting. It all depends, I suppose, on circumstances. He's probably good enough to get this Derby side out of the Championship. They've got a good enough team. They've got a good enough manager. The club seems right set up this time to go to the Premier League. It's just whether he'd want to chance that. I'm not too sure. But it's clear that he is a top-end Championship manager at the very least, purely because we've not yet seen him in the Premier League.
Think Derby could have a crack at that top two, trying to break up Wolves, and obviously Wolves are well clear, but and Cardiff 6 points ahead of Derby. They've neither side have really had a blip. I think Derby could challenge the top two.
Potentially, I think they could challenge. It's all on this team in second, Cardiff, isn't it? How can they do it? They're really the underdog, much like Bristol City in third. How long can they keep it going? Can they maintain this to the end of the season to make it a serious promotion run? Saturday marks the halfway point of the season. Can they keep it going for the second half? We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, Derby have got the talent, definitely. Have got the results as well to back it, to push that top two. Like I said, I think it's all in the hands of the likes of Bristol City and Cardiff at the moment, if they can kind of handle the pressure of being up the top, compared to where they were in recent seasons, where they're probably battling to stay up at the other end.
And it is some achievement from Neil Warnock. I mean, only 16 goals conceded so far this season. They've scored 33, which doesn't rank them anywhere near the highest in the division. Obviously, Wolves leading the way with 42 goals scored, only 17 conceded. But with what he's had at his time at Cardiff, to get them that solid is another excellent job that he's done, Neil Warnock.
Yeah, really impressive. Again, it goes, you know, the players they've got there, that back four really shouldn't be a back four, with the greatest respect, that have only conceded that little amount of goals. You look at Lee Peltier, I wouldn't say he's a top-end championship right-back. Sol Bamba, love Sol Bamba, but you know how his time at Leeds ended. The reason why he did leave the club, his performances weren't up to what they'd seen. So you're looking at that, and it's just, I suppose, testament to Neil Warnock, that one final challenge tag that's always thrown on every job, but this one seems to be working out really well. But again, it's can they seriously keep it going? At the moment, you'd back them to. They've done it for the first 22, 23 games. They could probably do it for the remainder of the 23. It's just, do they have the quality to keep them going? I'm not too sure. Are they going to strengthen in January? Is everyone else around them going to strengthen probably more than they will? Not too sure. I'll have to wait and see. But I suppose at the moment, you're going to be looking at them as potential promotion contenders. They definitely should at least make a playoff place now, at the very least, given how far ahead they are already. But yeah, really impressive from Warnock to not only get the results, but like you said, to concede so little goals as well, less than Wolves, a Wolves team that we all know how good they are. It's a really impressive record. And yeah, he's just doing it again. Just doing it again, isn't he, Neil Warnock, in that one final challenge that comes with every job that he seems to take.
Going for that record promotion, but they're doing it unlike many of the top teams we've seen in the Championship over the last couple of years, who have all tended to have someone that has got 20 goals throughout the season, 20-plus. But for Cardiff, I mean, you have to go down to 18th in the top scorer list in the Championship to find their top scorer in Junior Hoylett, who obviously throughout his time at Blackburn and QPR as a wideband forward player, never really been prolific. Can they book the trend here, Cardiff, and get promotion to the Premier League without a 20-goal a season striker?
Well,
or is it going to dry? That might be their issue coming to the second half of the season. I mean, the next man on the list is Rawls, who's got 5 goals from midfield. So again, the strikers not really tripping in, or your traditional strikers.
Yeah, it's that every time I see Cardiff linked with a player, it seems to be a striker. So you imagine it's probably an area they've addressed. They bought in Omar Bogle, of course, from Grimsby. Danny Ward as well came in. He's currently out injured, so it is a big issue. And like you say, when you're looking at the teams around them, you look at Wolves with Bonatini up front and the players they've just got behind them, the players, everyone else around them seems to have that striker who has got goals in them, but they're contributing from all departments. You just feel that it'll probably be an area they'll look to strengthen in January, and if they can, given their defensive record, you imagine they'll be able to keep it up for the remainder of the season and be a serious promotion contender.
17 different players have scored for Cardiff this season.
Talk about sharing and spreading the goals around. It's quite remarkable when you think about it, really. Like I said, if they can get that striker in, the defensive record is very, very impressive. Could be a serious promotion contender.
Bristol City going under the radar. Do you think they're third, and they've been there all season, but there aren't too many people talking about them?
Yeah, they're kind of the forgotten-ish team out of kind of everyone up there. Just two, they've won 8 of their last 10, I think. So they've got quite a remarkable run going at the moment. Yeah, they've got a lot of talent in there. It's are they going to sell in January? I'm not too sure. I know pretty much everyone in that starting 11 has been linked with a move away, but yeah, the forgotten team, but doing very well. Went to Bramall Lane, of course, the other week, got a victory, picking up really good results. And like Cardiff, it's how they cope in the second half of the season. Do they strengthen in January? Do they need to strengthen in January? But at the moment, they're in there, and they're in there on credit. Interesting to see if they can keep it up for the remainder of the season.
Obviously, Villa were on a bit of a hot streak. They've slowed down now. They have had quite a few injuries. They've not won this calendar month so far. So they've beaten by Derby, a couple of draws before that. Obviously, the Leeds game, they drew with Millwall as well. And they're level on points with Sheffield United, who have now not won for a calendar month, with four defeats and a draw from their last five for Sheffield United. Has the bubble burst at Sheffield United, or should we be more wary of a comeback given what we've already seen with Leeds United, with Ipswich to a certain extent, with Preston as well, who have all had big dips in form but are now right back in there?
I'm not sure, Sheffield United, because obviously we know how well they did last year, how remarkable that promotion season was. And they obviously carried that into the Championship, which helped massively. It's now they're in that new situation that they've not really been in the past couple of years, where they've gone on a running or a winless run, a run of games without picking up. I think they picked up just 1 point in their last five. Their only draw of the season that came against Birmingham. So I'm not too sure. It's the funds available to Sheffield United. How much money do they have to play with in January, and where do they strengthen? But on the positive, you know, Leon Clark, spoke about him already, scored a ton of goals for him this season. So you're imagining that if they do strengthen in January, regardless of the quality of the player, Chris Wilder's probably going to be able to get the best out of him. But they've got the talent. You imagine that they will turn it round. It's just how they react to this kind of newish situation that they find themselves in, because it's very rare over the past couple of years that they've been five games without victory.
At the weekend, it's the Villa game we talked about before, possibly a defining moment ahead of a busy Christmas for both of those teams in the playoffs. Level on points, fifth and sixth. Leeds obviously just a point behind with the Yorkshire Derby against Hull. Ipswich have got to go to Wolves, a real tough game for Mick McCarthy's side. Preston host Forest, who are again have had a decent season so far. Nottingham Forest, 11th place, 30 points on the board. But Preston on a right tear. They've won four of their last five. Unbeaten.
Yeah, they're doing really well. They've had a bit of a weird season. Similar to Leeds, they started very well, had a bit of a blip that saw them drop down the table, but seemingly on the way back up at the moment. And yeah, of course, we spoke about at the start of the season the managerial change, Simon Grayson, how well he'd done there to get them where they are. Alex Neil's come in and seemingly at the moment doing better. Not sure if they are playoff contenders. Not too sure. Joe Garner, what his kind of future is. Hugel, what his future is in January, if he goes or not, because he tried to leave in the summer. Is there going to be enough interest and enough cash there to move him on?
Going to be interesting for Preston. Kev has asked, name your two automatic teams now and your four playoff contenders for the end of the season. I imagine it's probably a lot different to the ones we put up at the start.
Yeah. If I had to pick right now, based on what we've seen, I'd probably go Wolves top. Obviously, I can't see anyone catching them. I think Derby might pip second. I think they've come there, been so close. They'll take it. Cardiff, Bristol City, Villa, and I think Leeds will take sixth. I think Sheffield United might just miss out. We spoke about it before the season started, that it wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing. It'd have that building year, that stepping stone to really give it another go or to really give it a promotion run the season after. But it's just so tight at the top. It's really hard to call at the moment.
Yeah, it's difficult. I'm not sure, to be honest. I've got to go Wolves. I'm going to give it... I think Neil Warnock might hold on. I think he's got a team spirit there that he's built. They haven't got the goals in the team at the moment. If they address that in January, Cardiff could be difficult to stop with just how difficult they are to beat and break down. Then I'm going to go Derby. I do fancy them to really challenge the top two. Bristol City, you can't really see them going anywhere. I'll have them fourth. Villa fifth. They've got to finish in the top six. Steve Bruce has to get them there. I do fancy Leeds. I don't think Sheffield United will last the pace. I just can't see Ipswich. I predicted a much worse season for them. Mick's doing a fantastic job. Preston, I think, as you said, it depends on January and whether they lose players or not. But I think, again, the manager's got a point to prove and he's doing a great job. I want to go Leeds in six. I think they can sneak it. And you would hope that, obviously, losing Chris Wood at the end of the window, there might be a little bit of cash there to spend for Thomas Christiansen. And you would like to see if they could get a little bit of championship experience in with what they've got and what they brought in the summer, where with a lot of the European signings, that Leeds would have a real good shot, a much stronger squad than at the end of January last season. If they could do something like that, just get a couple of experienced players in, then in terms of the tools available to what Gary Monk had, what Thomas Christiansen had, I'd fancy this season's Leeds United team now.
I think I'd probably back this season's squad more than last season's. Like I said, I think it's a couple of championship experienced players away. A couple of players who know, like I said, know what it takes, know what the running's like, know how to react to the ups and downs that come with it, to help out the both the younger players and, of course, the overseas players as well, new to the league, new to the situation. But it's kind of all there in terms of the club at the moment. They seem to have a good head coach in Thomas Christiansen, who, as the season's gone on, has learnt about the league as well. We're critical of him at various points for things such as, you know, subs that were reactive more than proactive to what's going on. Seems to be a bit changed that now. He seems to understand the league better, seems to know what it takes. But it's there. They don't seem a million miles away, Leeds. That's it. They seem one or two minor tweaks and additions away from being that top six team, because you look at some of the players they've got, like Saiz is just a top-end player in this league. For the price they got him for, seems an absolute steal at the moment. Alioski's contributing, Hernandez, we know his quality. Roof, 9 goals already this season. It's great for him, given the question marks of where the goals have come from after Wood's departure. And then throughout the squad, Janssen, we know about him. Phillips, Vieira, have already spoke about them as well. O'Kane as well, who can do a very good job in central midfield. It's all there. It just seems maybe one or two minor additions away from being a real serious top six finisher.
What about kind of middle of the table, downwards looking towards the relegation places? Now, obviously, Sheffield Wednesday at the weekend, beaten by Wolves. A goal to nil, no disgrace in that with the form that they've been in. It's Middlesbrough next at Hillsborough on Saturday. Both managers there under pressure. We say this every week, but at what point do the Sheffield Wednesday look to make a change? I'm not even sure they will.
I think he's got two good seasons in credit, hasn't he, really, where he's taken them to the playoffs twice, and I think that's keeping him there. If they'd missed out once, knocked out in the semi-finals next, and were experiencing the season they had now, he probably wouldn't have lasted longer. But they've come so close on two occasions that he's probably got it kind of in the bank, in credit. But like I said, they come up against a Middlesbrough team who have really underperformed, given how confident they were of promotion up to the Premier League straight away. They're miles away. They're 19 points off Wolves. They're 15 points off automatic. They're completely away from where they expected to be. So it's that where it seems that both managers here feel that they need a result. You just fear for Carlos. You really do. It is that. Are they going to get rid of him? When? If they were, you imagine it would have been around now, going into January, where maybe a manager could have come in and said, right, here's a couple of players that we need to change things up. But I'm not so sure. They lose this weekend. It's that. How long does he get? But like I said, we've said it every week now. And the more we say it, the more I'm thinking they just won't. They just won't make the change.
Yeah. I've got a sneaking feeling that he stays all season. And I'm going to make I'm going to make a prediction that Sunderland finish higher than Sheffield Wednesday.
Do you reckon? I don't know. I just think Sunderland will will linger around 17th, 20th, around there. I don't buy this Chris Coleman thing. Yeah, I don't know, though, because I don't know where Sheffield Wednesday are going to finish. Sheffield Wednesday could end up finishing 21st. I don't know. I can't see Sunderland coming higher than 14th, 15th. I think too much needs to be done.
That'd be a good end of the season, but I can't see Sheffield Wednesday going anywhere at the minute.
I don't know. I think we can rule them out of playoffs already, to be fair. It's going to take a miraculous turnaround in both.
If they stay as they are.
It's going to take a miraculous turnaround in form and morale and atmosphere around the club to do it. I don't know.
These things can happen, though. Look at Everton already under Big Sam, up to ninth. Six games in.
I don't know. It comes down to that. I don't know if they'll make a managerial change. If they don't, you can't see him going anywhere. I don't know. Purely because I don't know where Sheffield Wednesday are going to finish, but I can't see Sunderland going too higher than where they are currently, really. But saying that, I don't think they'll go down based on some of the other teams that we've seen down there.
Takeover at Barnsley announced today. Drew Brentford at the weekend, which stopped the rot of five successive defeats for Paul Heckingbottom's team. What do you make of the takeover? Moneyball into Barnsley?
Yeah, if you've seen the Moneyball film, of course, you'll know about the story. Well, someone involved in the whole story is behind is part of that Barnsley consortium. It's a Chinese businessman who's led it. Owns Nice in France, who we know have spent a lot of money to be where they are currently. Got some really good players as well. So, yeah, it's you imagine that they're going to invest. Personally, I'd stay with Heckingbottom. We say it every week. I think the job he's done there, given the circumstances, has been good. If you can get some decent players in, you imagine that they can take them forward. But really kind of exciting time for Barnsley and probably the time they needed this takeover to go through. Just before January, the team's in a bad run of form. I know they drew at the weekend and kind of stopped the rot of consecutive losses. But remains to be seen. And if Billy Beane can come in and moneyball it, probably even better. Even better. But exciting times for him.
Yeah. Moneyball and Chinese businessman who's spent shed loads of cash at Nice. Don't really go hand in hand.
I don't really know how it's going to work. This guy's going, right, we'll spend 10 million on this. And you go, no, I've got this guy for 300k. Trust me, he'll work better. But he has to play in this position for this many minutes for it to work. But yeah, it's a really interesting takeover. Quite exciting for Barnsley. But the whole Moneyball thing, I'd be intrigued to see if they give it a go.
Yeah, David Harrison asked that. Could there be the big spender in the January window? More importantly, for the man that we've touted for every job going, Paul Heckingbottom, obviously we've seen it go both ways when big money comes in into a football club. If the owner does have lofty ambitions, I'm not sure who they hired at Nice, but Paul Heckingbottom, maybe a victim of this takeover?
I think, in a way, he'll be quite happy. The fact that we know how they've become a bit of a selling club over the past few windows, it's fair to say. You imagine that the confidence is there to keep the talent that they have and add to it. But it is that. It's always a nervous time for a manager, isn't it, when a new owner comes in? Depends if he's got his own ideas of who the manager can be. You don't know if he'll look at the situation, but just look at the results and say, well, the team's at the bottom end of the table. They've been on a losing run. They've not picked up this many picked up points in this many games. The manager's got to go. But, you know, if he's there, it's an exciting time for him in January, given the fact that a lot of his talent had gone. You imagine he'll be given the funds to add to it when it comes to it, when the window opens.
We'll see. Barnsley, a takeover today announced. Get through a bit of transfer gossip before the end of the show. But it's a Christmas special, Tom.
Yes.
We're 50 minutes in. We've never talked about Christmas.
It's Christmas next week. Christmas.
We do have a Christmas special, Owen Coyle Stories. Is that correct?
Yes. It's just a normal one with a bit of a Christmas kick to it at one point. Talks about the transition from player to manager But because he was a player manager when he was 34, it's all fine for him. You know, just Owen strolled in. So he talks about the kind of what it's like from going from a player to a manager and how you deal with that difference.
Here we go.
All of a sudden, I said, I think it's a difficult one. The fact it was just a kind of natural progression and time to kind of ease into it, I think that helped me. But it's still the same. I mean, you know, when you go to leave players out, you know those players care and they're hurt and everything else. So those are always, as we say, you know, tough decisions. But they've got to be made because unfortunately you can only start with 11. But I've always said to them, wherever I've been, it's always going to be a fair fight. You know, if somebody's playing well, they stay in the team. Ultimately, managers don't put players out of the team. Players' performances put themselves in the team.
There we go.
There's your Christmas sleigh bells.
Obviously, the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again, they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with 3 defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win. As a manager, Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
It's back. I'd say you've not even Christmased up the Harry Kewell Crawley Town music.
Yeah, it's not a very happy festive period for them at Crawley. I was worried, Sam, because this feature was going a bit, you know, not great, because suddenly they became not good, they started to get results. And then Harry, in true festive form, went, don't worry, I'll help this feature by losing and getting 2 men sent off in that defeat. They went to Crewe at the weekend, 2-0 down at half-time, a straight red, then a second yellow red card for, we spoke about Barnsley, Dagnall scored in the 94th minute, scored a second of the game, 3-0 loss at Crewe, who, you know, we're down there with them. They're still 4 points. They're constantly 4 points away from relegation. But they travel to Accrington this weekend, who suffered a couple of defeats, but are still in the playoff places. Might not be the happiest of Christmases for a certain Crawley Town manager.
It was an answer on The Chase yesterday.
Was he?
One of the old ones on the Challenge TV.
Was he?
Yeah, we've got the in-laws around, so it was a mutual thing to watch. The Chase. Yeah.
So you can thank
was married to the girl from Emmerdale, this footballer.
So you can thank this feature for giving you all your Harry Kewell based knowledge that you need.
I knew it was because she had a go at you. This is where you got your hatred to Harry Kewell,
yes,
isn't it? You were trolling him, and then his wife.
And she popped up. I was like, "Whoa, who are you? You back out of this between me and Harry." But I just want to say I'm delighted that we've basically made Christmas with this feature now. Because I really thought we wouldn't. So I'm very happy about that and pleasantly surprised. So in a weird way, well done, Harry, for that, for not getting sacked yet.
Well done, Harry. And it summed up, actually, the whole feature by David Harrison. He says he feels sorry for Crawley, but really don't feel sorry for Harry. Never will forgive him.
Same situation. Don't mind the club. No issue with Crawley. Probably sympathise with them at the moment. It's difficult, but again, pleasantly surprised we made it to Christmas with
this.
Happy days.
Could this be the last ever Crawley Town Watch? We won't be here next week. He's got to make it to the new year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm not backing him to do that. No way.
More Crawley Town Watch in 2018? Maybe. I hope so. I hope he lost the distance.
I like the jingle. To be fair, it's probably my favourite jingle that we have. So, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed. Can we make... We've made half the season. Can we make the full season? Get the odds up.
We shall see. Yeah, I'm not sure they run those on the...
Do how long radio features will last odds, please?
Next League 2 manager to go odds. Let's talk a bit of transfer news before we do good days, bad days. And, well, Sheffield United... maybe looking to stop the rot. They are in for the man who you say that Leeds should sign.
Yes, Leonardo Ajoa, been linked with a move away to the Championship. I've said that maybe Leeds should be looking at this type of striker to help out up front. Sheffield United and Aston Villa are the two sides that have been linked with him. Of course, January window opens in a couple of weeks' time. Yeah, we spoke about Leon Clark, Billy Sharp, the options they've already got up there, looking to turn round both sides, really, who are out of form, looking to turn that round a bit with a championship, top-end championship standard striker.
Bolton, they're in the relegation places.
Yes.
Back in there at the minute. And Phil Parkinson, a few signings needed in January. He's eyeing a few.
Yeah, said to be, or understood to be, three new signings rumoured in the January transfer window. Obviously looking to avoid that relegation straight back down to League One. But Bolton, difficult situation, isn't it? Very difficult situation, all the restrictions, etc. So we'll have to wait and see where he goes.
And is the problem now for Norwich? You talked about the talent that they've got, that they might start getting picked off now in January. Ben Godfrey, the latest to be linked away.
Yeah, youngster. Obviously, if you're a good championship standard youngster, you get the attract the interest of Premier League sides. I know Malik Wilkes, the lead striker's interest in Premier League teams at the moment. Southampton, West Brom and Swansea. Tracking him at the moment. Interested to see if they make a move in January.
Excellent. Let's do this. The easiest and most self-explanatory feature on the radio. Tom tells us who had a good week and a bad week in the Football League.
Yes.
Tom, away you go. You've got about a minute.
Decent, a feature that's immune to managerial sackings, of course. Start a championship, good for Millwall. Made it 7 points out of a possible nine in the last three games. A victory over Middlesbrough. Gary Monk under a bit of pressure once again at his club. Bad day for Sheffield Wednesday. Their struggling form continues after defeat to Wolves, who, let's face it, weren't at their best either, but still managed to get the win. Into League One, good for Gillingham. They ended a run of five games without a win, with a 4-1 victory over Bristol Rovers, so a good way to end that run of form. And bad for AFC Wimbledon. Red card, three late goals in a 4-0 defeat to Wigan. Wigan aside, who you imagine should secure promotion back to the Championship. League Two, good for Accrington. Or bad shape, Accrington. A man sent off in that 2-0 defeat to promotion rivals. Lincoln.
What's happened there?
I'm trying to think of the word Lincoln. And a bad. I'm going to make two bads here. Crawley, because I wanted to also put them in there as well. So there we go. Good days, so bad days this week.
Two bads.
End the year on a high. That's what I like to do.
End the year on a high with possibly a typo.
Maybe.
I don't know what Tom's doing there.
I might. You're assuming I've planned this.
Let's have a couple of comments before we go. Philip, Birmingham sat Rower in fifth place. Exactly a year to the day he's at Derby in fifth. Philip says, looks like Sheffield United are doing a Leeds from second to sixth in a month. Who knows? Maybe even lower after the holidays. And well, that's what we've got time for on the FL 72. Tom Maguire is next with the evening show.